invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We're going to read some verses out of 1 Corinthians 12. Last week we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 and we talked about how that God creates one body, that every local church is a body of believers. The truth is that the body, God created the body. The church is not just a good idea. The church is God's idea. And the church is not the building. The church is the body. And it is a body of diverse believers who are united in Christ by a common salvation and a common spirit and a common mission. We have the common salvation. We have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed Him as Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And when we confess that Jesus is Lord and begin to follow Him, listen to me very carefully. Let me say what I'm about to say, and I really want you to hear this. Salvation is not a fire escape from hell, and salvation is not praying a prayer and then your life never changing. Salvation is bowing the knee to Jesus as Lord. He becomes Lord, and your life begins to change as a result of His Lordship. That is salvation. Anything less is not true salvation. And so it is a diverse body, united in Christ, gifted by the Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit living in us. And because of that, then we need one another. God intended the body that we need one another. And that is the context in which Paul discusses spiritual gifts. Notice this. Paul only discusses spiritual gifts in the context of the body, the local group of believers. Every passage on gifts, Romans 12 speaks about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 speak about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 speaks about spiritual gifts. Every single one of those passages he's talking about the church, the local church. And so every passage on gift is in the context of a local church functioning, working, accomplishing God's purposes. In fact, we cannot fulfill the one and other commands of the Bible apart from the body. That's why when somebody says, well, I can just be a Christian and watch TV at home, they're lying. They're lying to themselves and they're lying to you because you can't fulfill the one another commands with the TV. You just can't. Now, if you're homebound and you cannot make it to church, that's one thing. But if you're able-bodied and you can be in the house of God with God's people, you're sinning against God and God's people if you're not in the local church, in the body, living out the one another commands of the body. Now, Paul now talks about spiritual gifts. Notice when Paul talks about the gifts, he really defines them, and then he describes them, and then he divides them among the body. So I want us to just walk through that. Notice the definition of the gifts. In verses 4 to 6, Paul begins his discussion on gifts. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirits. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. In verse 7, he goes on to say, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And the point of this is God gives spiritual gifts to each of us to benefit all of us. So when we use our gifts or our talents for the glory of God, and in the context of the body, they benefit the whole body. And every one of us has gifts that God intends for us to use. Now notice three truths about these gifts. Notice in verse 4, the origin of the gifts. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, he's going to use the same word three times for differences, but he uses three different words for gifts. The first word he uses is gifts itself, and this word speaks of the origin because the Greek word is charisma. That is literally the Greek word. Now, you've heard it used in English. We talk about somebody having charisma. Well, charisma literally in Greek means the result of grace that is given. So if God gave you grace, the result of that grace that He has given to you is a gift residing in your life. So your charisma, your spiritual gift, and that's what the word for spiritual gift is, your spiritual gift is the result of His grace working in you. The Holy Spirit gifts you. You didn't get it because you're better than anybody else. You didn't get it because God saw something in you that others didn't have. He gifts you with His gifts just as He wills for His part in the body. I would never have chosen to be a pastor or to be a preacher. I had a different life plan. But God called me and God gifted me. And for me to be faithful and use my gifts, I'm doing what I'm doing right now. The reason it's not hard for me to go in the nursery and serve is because my basic spiritual gift that I function under is a gift of service. And I like to serve. But whether you have that gift or not, you ought to serve because service is a commandment and it is exemplified by our Lord Jesus and by the Apostle Paul, and every one of us ought to serve. It is distressing when the members of the body won't serve one another. It really is because that ought to be normal. The spiritual gift you have is a Spirit-given gift. God gave it to you. That's its origin. Notice the second truth. Notice its operation. How does it operate in the body? Well, look, he says there are diverse differences of ministries. This word ministries, for all my deacons, this word ministries is the word diakonos. That's where we get our word deacons from. It is that actual service. It is serving one another. It is doing the things that need to be done. Deacons fulfilled practical needs. That's who they were, and that's what they did. And so this kind of service is not highfalutin worship type liturgy service. There's that word in the Greek. It is basic day-to-day service in the body. It is just like Paul says there in the first one, he says there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Notice who he attributes this to the Lord Jesus. And why? Because he's talking about the triune God being active in giving. And here's what I want you to see. Every ministry the Lord Jesus asked us to fulfill, he did. That's why he says it's the same Lord. Jesus served. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for the ministry. We're going to talk about healings. Jesus healed people. We're going to talk about prayer. Jesus prayed. We're going to talk about administration. Jesus had organized a grand group of disciples. We're going to talk about teaching. Jesus was the master teacher. Talk about proclaiming. Jesus was the best prophet that ever lived. We're going to talk about the apostles. Jesus is the one. He's the apostle sent from the Father, just as he sends apostles. Jesus is the true apostle sent by the Father. And so when we talk about every gift, the Lord Jesus manifests that gift. He's the one who describes everything that we need described. He is the focus of all of our gifts. So when you look at spiritual gifts, here's what you ought to look at. You ought to say, my spiritual gift is given to me by the Spirit so that I can look like Jesus. So that in my area, wherever that is, I can look like Jesus. But let me tell you what really happens. As you mature in your faith, as you grow more like Christ and more mature in your faith, you ought to so manifest every gift that nobody knows which one you have. Think about it. Which one did Jesus have? All of them in all their fullness. And as you grow more like him, you know what? You'll serve when service is needed. You'll speak a hard word sometimes when you have to speak it. You'll speak an encouraging word when you need to speak it. You'll speak a loving word. You'll speak a word of mercy. And sometimes you'll give sacrificially and you'll serve gladly. You'll do everything that the spiritual gifts do. Why? Because you are coming to be more like the Lord Jesus. And that's why Paul says there are diversities of service, but it's the same Lord Jesus who manifests all of them and shows them all. They're from him and they're ministered to through him. And so if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to use your gifts in the context of the church. Notice the third truth, the outworking of the gifts. Notice there that when they come out, he says there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, this word is an interesting word. You know, we say charisma, you understand charisma, and you understand deacon. Well, this word you'd understand too. This word is energma. It's the word we get energy from. And it is the result of that. Anytime the Greek, they put M-A on the end of a word, it means a result. And so energma means the result of the energy put forth. It is the gift done in the body. And so, for example, when he's going to talk about gifts of healings, he's not saying, now listen to me careful, later on, he's not going to say there are healers, but there are healings that take place. Why? Because the result of the Spirit's power working through you, the energy of the Spirit working through an individual yielded to Christ, fulfilling their spiritual gift, they may see somebody healed as they pray for them. You say, are you turning charismatic? Absolutely, but the Bible kind. What do you mean, Brother Stan? Just what the Scriptures teach. You know what I think? I think we could pray for people to be healed and they will be. Not always, but God may choose to manifest through you. You may go to somebody and pray for them and they may get better. Now, you don't get to start a healing ministry. You don't get to start sending out cloths, spitting on cloths and shipping them out. You don't get to do any of that. That is not your calling. But God may at some point in time use you to bring healing to someone. Some of our nurses, God uses them to bring healing. Some doctors, God uses them to bring healing. Sometimes it is instantaneous and sometimes it is gradual, but God heals. But listen, God may actually use you to pray for somebody and them get better. Now, you say, how in the world could that happen? Well, if you're not praying for people, it isn't going to. But you know what I've learned in my ministry? I'm a nobody, y'all. But I know this, I can put my arm around people and pray for them and ask God to heal them because I'm not asking for me, but I am tapping into the power of the God of heaven and earth who controls all things by the word of his power and before whom every sickness must bow. every disease must bow. He is the master of sickness and disease. He is Lord. When our Lord was on this earth, the leper came to him. I read this morning in my quiet time. The leper came to him and he said, if you were willing, you could cleanse me. And Jesus said, he touched him. Transmitting leprosy to himself, basically making himself unclean until that moment that the leprosy left the leper. Well, guess where it went, folks? Jesus absorbed it. Not only that, but when Jesus took it, you know what happened? The leper, who was an outcast and had to live in the deserted places, he got to go in the city saying, hey, look what Jesus did. So much so that Jesus got forced into the outcast places. He was out in the, you read the text in Mark 1:45, and he's out in the deserted places. Why? Because he literally takes the place of the leper in every way when he lays his life down to serve. And so you see, God may use you to heal. God may use you to speak a word of wisdom. But let's move on. Notice the description of the gifts. When Paul talks about the gift in verses 7 through 11, let's read those. He says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now notice, the spiritual gifts, let me just say quickly three things. They are empowered for the common profit. Why do you have them? Because God loves the whole body. God's not giving them to you for you. If your gifts are used rightly and properly in the body, you're going to be the least to know about them. Your other people are going to see them manifested through you. They're going to be empowered for the common good. God gives these gifts for the body, not for you. If you just want your spiritual gifts so everybody can notice you, he'll never show it to you. But the minute you die to self and say, Lord, use me in the body, and I just give my life away and I want to serve you, your spiritual gift will flow out. Some of you struggle with finding your spiritual gift, and for years you've not found it, and the reason is you're not plugged into the body. And God's not going to show you a gift you're not going to use. Second, they're energized by one Spirit. Look there in verse 11. Who gives you the power? The Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God individually gives you your gifts, and not only that, the Spirit empowers you to use it as he wills. God wants to make his glory known through his church, and his Spirit gives his power to magnify his Son, Jesus. And so the Spirit comes to move through you so that the spiritual gifts can be shown through you to the body. Why? Because he wants to make Jesus known. Why would God want to heal somebody so that the Lord Jesus would get the glory and the honor? Why would God give you a word to speak to somebody so Jesus would be glorified in their life? You might have a word of knowledge or wisdom about somebody that speaks to them and something they need to hear. And God may want to use that. Notice a third truth. It is equally divided among the whole body. Look there in verses 29 and 30. These verses are clear, are very important. He says this, and the Greek says it in a very clear way. He says this, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All don't have gifts of healings, do they? All don't speak with tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? That's the way every one of these questions is phrased in the original. What is the point? To say this, everybody doesn't. Guess what? You may be a person here, you may have a gift here that nobody else has in the body, but your gift is unique, given for you to magnify Christ in the midst of his body, and it's not the same one anybody else has. Nobody has to have any one gift. When I was younger, I was out in evangelism at my first church where I was on staff, and I've told you this story before. I knocked on the door, and this fellow wanted to say that the whole purpose of the gifts was for speaking in tongues. But the truth is, the Bible doesn't say that everybody has to speak in tongues. In fact, these two verses tell us that everybody does not. Period. End of story. He says, all don't speak in tongues, do they? Tongues is not for everybody. We will discuss this more when we get to chapter 14. We'll look at tongues. But tongues is essentially speaking in a known language. He says it in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, are there not many kinds of tongues in the world, and none of them without signification, or meaning that somebody understands them somewhere? There's not just a babble. Every tongue is a language. And so we'll talk about that. But does God use tongues? Absolutely. And he does. And he divides them, but not everybody has them. Notice the fourth truth. The tongues, the gifts, are equipping for a specific task. And sometimes the Spirit may manifest something through you in a specific situation. This gift, for example, this is what we're talking about now. It may not be something that you have forever. For example, God may give you a gift of healing one time. One off. It just might be a one off, as the Brits would say. It's a one off. It happens once and it never happens again. I have prayed for people and they've gotten well. I don't have the gift of healing on a regular basis. I pray for a lot of people and they get worse. And so it happens. I can't help it. I pray for them and they don't get better. Some, I go to the hospital and I pray for some and they die. I don't have the gift of healing. I can't say everybody on whose hands I lay, on whose person I lay my hands is going to get well. I can't say that. But I have prayed for people and God has used me to see people literally healed immediately right then. I believe that can happen with any of you, because here's what I want you to see. What are these gifts? Notice the first one. There's a word of wisdom through the Spirit. You know what? There's a picture in Acts chapter 21 where Paul is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. This prophet says he takes Paul's belt and he binds his own hands with it. And he says, thus says the Lord, the man who owns this belt, when he gets to Jerusalem, his hands will be bound. Now, that is a word of wisdom. It is exactly what happened. It was the Spirit speaking through this man. But Paul said, well, I still have to go because the will of the Lord has to be done. And they're all crying and saying, please, Paul, don't go. You're going to be bound. And Paul says, don't cry and break my heart. I've got to do the will of God. But it was a word of wisdom. It really happened. It was another place in there. I believe there was a word of knowledge in Acts 21:4 in the same passage about the same information. It was knowledge for guidance. But you know what? God may give you a word of wisdom. And wisdom is this. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view so that you know how to act properly in any situation. God may speak to you and give you a word of wisdom for somebody in a situation. I have prayed with people. I've been on the phone this week with friends who called, students, former students who are calling. I have a pastor friend. Their marriage is going through a tough time, and he calls, and we pray together. And I talked to him, and he said, you don't know how you are speaking to me. And I said, no, I really don't. But I'm just telling you what I believe you need to hear, because I don't pull any punches. And he says, you don't pull any punches, do you? And I said, did you call me for that? I can give you the number of people that will, but you're calling the wrong number if you want somebody who's going to pull punches to you. You're a man of God. This is what God's word says to you, so do it. But he says, this is the wisdom that I need. Sometimes God gives me wisdom in those situations, and I cry out to him for wisdom. Sometimes God may give you a word of knowledge. He may give you just the information that somebody else needs. And many of you, you don't know it, but there have been times when you have spoken words of wisdom to me that I needed to hear by the Spirit. And God has used you to speak to me and to encourage me in ways you will never even know. God has given you a word of wisdom for a situation. Sometimes something you've said, the lights went on. How many of you have been talking to somebody else and they've spoken a word to you from the Lord and you knew it was from the Lord? It's like the lights came on that minute and you thought, oh, that's what that means. That's a word of wisdom. And so God uses us to give others a word of wisdom. And God may speak through you to give a word of wisdom. If it ever happens, don't run around and think you're wise.
Well, gee, I'm so wise that I can give out words.
No, it's the Spirit. Be thankful that you were enough of a conduit that the Spirit could speak through you. That's the cool part. It's not your wisdom. It's God's grace flowing through an obedient channel in the body, serving the body, using their gift, and then the Spirit speaks. And you don't get to take any credit. The Spirit speaks. Notice what it says there in the verse. It says a word of wisdom, how? Through the Spirit. All that means is that you were a channel. Praise God, you get to be a channel. Some of you get to have a word of knowledge. And that word of knowledge is you speak about a specific situation, you're able to give somebody guidance. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is that knowledge sometimes is merely the information that people need. It's not how to act on it, it's just the information. And God may use you to give someone a word of knowledge. And so be thankful for that. To some, someone may have the spirit of faith. When you talk to them, they have mountain-moving faith. They share it. You see these people, and they're excited. They so believe the Word of God. I knew a man whose ministry transformed my life, and his name was Manly Beasley. And Brother Manly had mountain-moving faith. I'm telling you, he was a man of faith. He could believe God for things, and he encouraged other people around him to believe God for things. And he would say, what do you believe in God for today? And they people would say, everything. And he'd say, no, whatever you're expecting God to do, that if God doesn't come through, you are sunk. If God doesn't do it, you're in trouble. That's when you're really believing God. When you need God to do something in your life that only God can do. When you're praying, God, I want to go to Mexico and be with Jenna, but I don't have the money. And you say, oh, God, show up, and God sends the money. That's a faith thing. And when you see God provide, that's a faith building thing. But God may give you faith to say, God's going to give you the money for that. I just know it. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm not on that committee, but God has spoken to my heart, and he's going to take care of your need. He's going to take care of my need. That's the faith that the Bible talks about here. This is not faith for salvation. This is mountain moving faith in the church that changes the dynamic of the church. When one person gets a vision of faith and they step up and they speak a word of faith, I'll tell you one that happened in this church. I'd come here and had the privilege of being here just as interim and was preaching, trying to preach encouraging messages. And I think they were. And most people said they were, and so for that I was encouraged. But then we preached on missions, and it came in November, this church had not been giving to Lottie Moon, and I just challenged them to pray about missions. And so we said, what should our missions goal be? And a word of faith came from one of our deacons, Don Haney, stood up in that business meeting, and he said, Brother Stan, I believe that God wants us to set a goal of $10,000. And I went, What? I mean, absolutely. That sounds like an amazing goal. And I'm thinking, and we ain't going to get close. But the truth is, we gave $12,500. Why? Because one man spoke a word of faith at just the right time, and the church embraced that. And then I remember another time we were in here, and we said, now, what is our goal going to be? And we didn't have any unity on the goal, and we were all praying about the goal. And Miss Marion came in the next time of the business meeting. She said, I've got a goal. We said, what is that, Miss Marion? She said, $43,267.59. And we all went, huh? She said, how did you get, we don't want round numbers, Miss Marion. Shoot for something specific here. Now tell us what exactly. Where she said, that's how much it cost to take one missionary and take care of them on the field for a year. And the whole church, it was electric. Why? Because a word of faith had been spoken. The Spirit had moved. And faith was spoken, and we all said, amen, that's what we need to do. And we gave way over that. But you see, that's what God does. When the Spirit is at work in the church, and people are listening to the Spirit, He manifests Himself in these amazing gifts, and faith comes. Again, the fourth one is gifts of healing. Now notice it doesn't say a gift of healer. It says gifts of healings. Which could mean you may speak a word to somebody who is troubled mentally, and they may be healed mentally. They may go away, and you may have just spoken the word that took the anxiety right out of their heart. You came to them, and you spoke to them in that right time, and the Spirit of God used that word to release them from their anxiety, and they walked away with joy. Brothers and sisters, that's a healing. Because if you've ever been worried about something, you've let it will eventually eat you up physically. God may have used you to speak a word of healing or exercise a gift of healing as you prayed for somebody. And there are different gifts, and they're used in different ways. But you don't just get one forever. This gift can be manifested throughout the body. And I really believe it. I believe that we who are Baptists have somehow forsaken the activity of the Spirit in our churches because we're so afraid somebody might think we're charismatic that we kind of become the frozen chosen, you know? And it's like, we're going to heaven, but we're going in the coldest possible way because we're afraid to move. And, you know, and I want to say, it's like one of my friends said, he said, listen, I'd rather try to control wildfire than have no fire. And so for me, I would love to see the Lord break out in some amazing way. Why? Because it's His church. It's His body. I don't want to control it. I want people to manifest gifts. And if you feel the need to pray over somebody that's sick, if the Lord's put it on your heart, you don't have to form a committee. You go and pray. You ask God to touch them and heal them. You let God do His work through you. And then next, working of miracles. God still does miracles. And God may do one through you. You never know. There may be an operation where you pray and the impossible happens. You say, oh, well, I can't see that. That's why it's called a miracle, because you couldn't see it. And you'd be stunned when it happened more than anybody else. But, beloved, I've seen God do mighty things through His people that are yielded and submissive to Him in the context of the body. And we need to pray. We need to be those kind of people. You never know, but what God wants to do something mighty in your life. Prophecy. What is prophecy? Well, let me just tell you. In 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 14, which deals with prophecy and miracles. I mean, prophecy in tongues. And I'm going to cover those in more detail. But Prophecy is a spiritual forthtelling where you speak frankly and earnestly, maybe to the whole body, and you may get up and share a testimony, and God uses that testimony to challenge the whole church. That's what it was in the first century, and we'll see that when we look at it more clearly. And then discernment. Look there in verse 10, to another, discerning of spirits. What is discerning of spirits? How many of you have ever heard somebody speak and you thought, something is wrong. I don't know what it is. I can't tell what it is, but something is not right with that thing. Something is not right with what they've said. Something is wrong. You know what just happened? The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you has manifested the gift of discernment. And you are able to pick up by your spirit what you cannot tell even by your mind. You may not understand why it's wrong, but you know that it's wrong. Learn to listen to that voice. That is the Holy Spirit speaking through you to say, this is not right. And beloved, God's Spirit wants to give you discernment so you can hear truth and recognize it from error. And you can hear error. You may not be able to understand all why it is error, but in your spirit you will know it is. And the Spirit of God will lead you, and He will guard the church and protect the church and you as you seek to listen to the Spirit of God. Now, as I said earlier, if you're not a child of God, you don't have any spiritual gifts. You don't. You may have a lot of natural talent, but don't mistake the two. There's a world of difference. The Spirit of the Lord has to come upon a person in salvation. And so the first question I want to ask you is, do you know Jesus? Have you experienced His forgiveness? And do you know today that your sin is forgiven and that the Spirit of the Lord has come to live in you? Second question, are you yielded to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to be faithful to You in Your body so that You can manifest Your gift through me, whatever it might be? Because if you're not, He will not manifest that gift. And that gift will be a wasted thing. And Jesus said that one day we will stand before Him and we will give an account for the gifts and the talents we have been given. And you do not want to be ashamed on that day that you wasted the gift that you were given. And so is your gift being manifested in the body? Are you plugged into Christ's local body so that through you the Spirit of God has the liberty to show His gifts and show His power and magnify Jesus the Lord? Would you bow with me for prayer?